Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border in our other location down in the beautiful capital of Baja Sur, which is in La Paz. But right now we have a very special, exciting guest. And Grizz, I know you've been everywhere and done everything, but I think this one might be something you haven't done yet.
I hope so, John, because I love learning new things and meeting new people.
Well, Carl is apparently, second, third, fourth generation at the Montauk Marina. And, you know, I've only got a vague idea where Montauk is, but Carl was saying earlier that the movie Jaws, you know, was kind of based on that area, and there's a lot of sharks around there. So, Greg, why don't we go ahead and get going with you? And first of all, you have, besides the marina and everything else you got going, you've got a tournament coming up, co-sponsored with Gary Harvey. So let's start off with that.
Yeah, definitely. It's called the Shark Eye. It's a new revolutionary shark tag and release tournament for the first time in Montauk.
Mm.
It's actually one of the. It's only a few actually being done on the East Coast. I think there's one to a couple down in Florida on the West Coast, but this is probably one of the first true, complete all release shark tournaments on the East Coast of the U.S.
Well, you know, when we think about sharks, you know, the first thing you think about is great whites, but there's a lot of different kinds of sharks out there. So give us an idea what you expect to bring in.
Our sharks out here are usually predominantly a blue shark, a mako, a thresher, an occasional brown shark, which I think is which we have to release because it's on endangered species list. White sharks, of course, also endangered species list, but you can release them. But basically, our three main sharks that we catch out here nowadays is basically the blue shark, the shortfin mako, and the
thresher.
Thresher shark.
Whiptail. Okay. Do you ever see any great whites?
Oh yes, we see them. We see them occasionally. Yes, we have seen them. We see them sometimes in the spring of the year. A dead whale can pop up, and they can feed on dead whales, which we've seen in the past.
Yeah, that's interesting. Every once in a while, on the Pacific, you know, one will happen, partly because of freighter traffic or who knows exactly what it is. But you know, you get one of those whales floating around out there. And it attracts everything, and I especially assume sharks. But after they've been floating around for a while, you don't want to get too close to them.
No, without a doubt. As a matter of fact, we're going to be trying to GPS tag a couple of the makos, a blue shark, and a thresher in our tournament here, which takes place here on July 27th and 28th. We're going to be placing some satellite shark tags in some of these makos, threshers, and blue sharks.
Great. And then you'll be able to track those and learn more about what they do?
We're going to track those with the old, with OSearch is going to give us a hand tracking them. They're actually one of our sponsors. And they're going to give us a hand, and we can actually watch where these sharks will be traveling to. I believe they just did a short fin mako down in, I think, somewhere else. I'm not sure where it was, but they have just tagged, from what I understand, one of their first makos ever with for OSearch to also to watch where and see where it travels to.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting tournament. Just a couple of things, and then I'm sure Grizz has a bunch of questions for you. One of the things that strikes me on the Pacific Coast, blues, makos, and threshers are very common in this area. Now, blues, as I recall, there used to be a ton of them around here. You could get them anytime you wanted to, but I think because of overfishing and, you know, people that will kill sharks, you know, and, you know, just take their, was it their gallbladder or something, and maybe the fins.
Their fin.
Yeah, and their fins, but I know that they're, you know, it was kind of a waste, and they've been fished out a lot. Do you see a lot of them on the East Coast, the blues?
Sharks, we see an awful lot on the East Coast.
The blues?
Okay. We see a lot of more blue sharks. They're usually predominantly very heavy in the June and early July. Our tournament here is going to be in the last week of July, so we should start to see the end of those blue sharks. It starts to taper off a little bit, and then they come back kind of heavy in the fall, and they actually grow in size in the fall. There's a lot of larger ones being caught usually in the fall of the year. But June is usually the predominant month for blue sharks in Montauk.
Okay. Well, that, you know, there's a lot of people that love fishing sharks, and you know, the mako, of course, and thresher are, you know, thresher in particular, they're great game fish, but a lot of people go after them for the food value in them. But Grizz, why don't you go ahead, and I know that you're just anxious to talk to Carl, so why don't you go ahead and see if you can actually learn something?
I can always learn something from especially somebody like Carl that does it for this for a living. Carl, you know, I love shark fishing. I mean, they're one of the mako for me is one of the outstanding fish, the way they jump, the way they spin, the way they hit, the way they run. I just absolutely love them. And needless to say, the thresher also is that, but the thresher is very hard to land because that long tail always cutting my line. Can you give me any tips on what kind of hooks to use on the mako? I've always used circle hooks. Tell me a little bit about the hookup.
In our tournament, we are making mandatory to use circle hooks only. Circle hooks have gotten very, very popular over the years as opposed to the J-hooks. Even other tournaments in Montauk, we see more and more people using the circle hooks. It definitely saves a lot of fish. It saves the gut hooks fish. And definitely works out well. A lot of guys like them better, actually. It seems that they hook better, and definitely we get much, much fewer mortality rates with the circle hooks.
Yeah, I love the circle hook. Of course, you know, most everybody knows I'm a pro angler for Eagle Claw, and I just love their circle hooks, and that's what I use when I go out there. What are you guys using for bait?
Predominantly, we use bunker, mackerel, we use bunker chum, mackerel chum. Sometimes, if we can get it, it's getting hard to get, though. It depends on if there's any fish around. We also use bluefish chum. A lot of guys will use live bluefish as a bait, which actually works out very well. But basically, it's bunker and mackerel are the two basic standbys for
mm-hmm. Yeah, what we use is mackerel, too. What I like to do is, you know, I always have my shark rod hooked up, and I'm out there chasing marlin. And I'll see a mako or, well, just about anything, a white tip up on top and just cruising, and then I'll pitch a live mackerel out in front of him. And that seems to be working real good for me.
We don't have too many live mackerel, but definitely the live bluefish is actually another way of catching these sharks, and guys use them quite a bit.
Yeah, Carl, would you do me a favor? And I'm sure people in your area, this may like sound like a stupid question, but I've never been to Montauk, and I don't know a whole lot about that area. Can you kind of give a brief overview of what it's like?
Sure.
The area is known for sometimes when the weather comes in, you get some big swells. And then, of course, in the summer times, it's really popular just for people to go to the beach.
Yeah, Montauk is actually it's on the very eastern tip of Long Island, the Southern Fork. We have a North Fork and a Southern Fork. We're on the South Fork. We're about 125 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean. The ocean is on the south side of us, and Long Island Sound or Block Island Sound on the north side of us. Montauk's been a very, very, very well-known capital, very well-known fishing area for years.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, Montauk started fishing back in the 1930s, actually,
mm-hmm.
when Carl Fisher opened up the harbor, made the Montauk Yacht Club. We had a lot of sport fishing boats from all over the world come here. And actually look for swordfish.
Carl, I'm sorry, but it looks like we're running out of time on this segment. I think we'll bring you back on before the tournament, if you don't mind.
Without a doubt, I'd be happy to come back anytime.
And the website, real quick.
Website for the tournament is marinebasin.com.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, Carl, very much. We'll be talking to you soon on another great job. Grizz, you're not going anywhere. We're going to come right back and talk to Jim at Parches Resort in the Sierras. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
I wish that I was fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border that is helping out as a co-host today from La Paz, the beautiful city of Baja California, sir. And we have Jared Smith from Parcher's Resort in the Eastern Sierras. I guess it's right to, well, Jared, I know you're close to Bishop, just up the hill from there. So give us an idea, first of all, where you're located, and then let's get into the what's happening this time of the year in the Eastern Sierras.
That sounds like a plan. My resort, Parcher's Resort, on the South Fork of Bishop Creek, we're almost exactly 20 miles southwest of Bishop. So you come into the town there off 395, and you shoot straight towards up into the mountains. We have cabin rentals, a cafe, and a boat dock up there at South Lake. And there's lots of, 20 miles of stream and four lakes and some ponds, and excellent for the fly or the spin fishermen.
Well, one of the great things about fishing the Eastern Sierras is you've got this tremendous fishery, but it's so spread out and so beautiful, you can find a spot where you can actually go and, you know, not have to be fishing shoulder to shoulder.
Well, that is absolutely true. We do get a lot of anglers from the Southern California area, L.A., Orange County, San Diego area, and they're used to that shoulder-to-shoulder thing, and boy, it's a breath of fresh air for them when they get up here. And you may have a lake that's twice the sizes of some of the reservoirs in the metropolitan areas, and you may be sharing the whole lake with 20, 30 people, midweek. So it's
right.
Definitely a different situation when it comes to angling pressure. Now, that's not always the case. We do have busy days in the summertime, but definitely enough water to where everyone can find a secluded spot if they look for one.
Well, when you go up there, you can get into some pretty rugged territory real quick. How high are you above Bishop, or how high? What's your elevation?
Well, the elevation at the resort is 9260, and up at the lake at South Lake, we're at 9768. So we are way up in the national forest. Which is a good thing from a temperature standpoint, because in July and August, boy, I tell you, when it's 109, 110 down in the valley, we're sitting at a cool 75 to 80, and it's really spectacular.
You're more than 9,000 feet above sea level. Wow.
That is correct.
Well,
and it's something, boy, I tell you.
That's why it's a short season, because you probably got ice in the water about 8-9 months out of the year.
Well, we do have a very short season. We're only open mid-May through mid-October. And it is very much weather-related as to our short season, but, it is what it is. Mother Nature likes to snow, and the lakes do freeze over, but, pretty much from May through October, there's something always spectacular going on in the Bishop Creek Canyon.
Wow, that's incredible.
You have wild trout up there?
We have tons of wild trout. Pretty much every body of water, and this doesn't just go for Bishop Creek drainage, but this is all the way up to Bridgeport and down through the Lone Pine area. Pretty much every body of water that they have stock trout in, there's also wild populations of brook trout and brown trout as well.
Well, that's very interesting, the brookies and the browns. And you've got to have some fantastic catches coming off there.
Oh, absolutely. Every year we'll get, in both of the stock trout, upwards of 10 pounds plus each year we get those. And then we get the wild browns that are out there, and those are the real bruisers. You'll get a couple from the Eastern Sierra, pushing 15, 20 pounds just about every
season. Now, that's what you're talking about. You get out there with a fly on a caddis hatch or a drake hatch, and you get one of those 15-pound, 10-pound, 5-pound brown trout, And then you got something to be proud of and something to talk about.
Well, amen to that. That's pretty much the dream.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you get a 12, 15 pound brown on a 2 pound fly line, and then you're going to be busy for a while.
Oh, you're going to be busy for a long while. Better be, have some waders to chase that fish around, because mm-hmm. he's going to run
or
all
a
over
belly
you.
Boat.
Yeah, or a belly boat. Wow.
Because, I mean, a 2 pound tippet with a 15 pound brown, I don't think I want to play that much.
I don't know if I'd come prepared for that fight with.
I wouldn't either. Fight. You know, a 6X or a 7X on a 15 pounder, I pass.
Well, give us a little bit of an idea. Other than that, and I didn't realize you guys were that high. You know, at that altitude, it'd take a couple of days to acclimate for us lowlanders.
Well, you know, everybody reacts to the altitude differently. For the most part, people have no trouble, except for, you know, when they want to go hiking. I wouldn't recommend coming up and going hiking immediately, but, you know, you get a little winded. Some people have a stronger reaction to altitude than others, and that's something that we see all the resort level. I mean, Mammoth, you know, that basin's at 8,500 feet, and the June Loop's at 7,500 feet. Rock Creek's up there near 10,000 feet, so... definitely something to consider. You just kind of want to hydrate and take it easy the first night. But usually within, you know, your first night up there, you're used to it enough to where you don't really notice it unless you're actually, you know, actively hiking on many of the hiking trails mm-hmm. up in the area.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, why don't you just kind of give us a bottom to top rundown if someone's going up, you know, from 95?
Up 395?
395, mm-hmm. So if they, you know, you go down, what, at maybe Lone Pine or, you know, where does it actually start?
Well, it depends
start?
On which way you're coming from. If you're coming from Southern California, you're heading up 395 through Lone Pine, Independence, Big Pine, and then mm-hmm. into Bishop. And then you shoot straight on Highway 168 West, and that'll take you right up into the Bishop Creek drainage. And then the opposite, of course, if you're coming from maybe the Reno area on 395 or even from, like, the Bay Area, if you're coming across 120 through Yosemite and hit 395 heading south. Same directions, head down into Bishop, and then just head west on 168. That'll take you, kind of winds up through the canyon. You go from the sagebrush and the popular rock climbing, bouldering areas, and then you kind of start getting into some of the scrub pine. And then once you hit about the 8,000-foot range, that's where we've got the canyon that forks off. And so you've got the Middle Fork to the right and the South Fork to the left. And then from then on up is where it really starts to get heavily forested. You know, you see the deer, you got lots of shade, the weather's nice all summer long. And creek and lake, you know, pretty much anywhere you go, the road is going to end at a lake, and the stream is pretty much along the road the whole way.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. Now, to get up to Parcher's Resort and to access some of the lakes up there, can most vehicles handle that?
Absolutely. It's all the roads in the canyon are two-lane paved highway the whole way. Not terribly windy. The elevation, obviously, you've got, you know, Bishop's at 4,500 feet, and we're up over 9, so you do have quite a bit of elevation gain, but it's a very good road, very safe road, not a scary road at all. So any vehicle can make it up there anytime the road is open.
Well, one of the great things about where you are, like I said, you're about 20 miles, you know, from Bishop, but that whole area along 395 in Bishop itself, you know, it may not be, you know, thought of as, you know, downtown Bishop, but actually it's a pretty neat place. They've got some kind of a nice, you know, Western feel to it. And, you know, you can just, if you want to be somebody like John Hennigan, you know, you just drive right up to, next to Bishop Creek, and you can do that pretty much year round and park and walk about 20, 30 feet, put your line in the water, and you got some great fishery.
Oh, that's absolutely true. The town of Bishop is really a cool little town, very tourist friendly. The whole town is really geared towards that nowadays. Used to be a ranching and mining back in the old days, but now it's pretty much a tourist driven economy here, so we've got lots of gift shops and restaurants and tackle shops, and I believe it was 2 years ago the California Outdoor Writers Association named Bishop as the best place in California to live for outdoor recreation, because you've got the off-road trails, you've got the world-class bouldering, one of the top rock climbing places in the entire country and even the world. And then you've got, of course, all that world-class fishing. And it's in the town of Bishop, you've got the Owens River, you know, 50 miles of it, that is just blue. I mean, it's just spectacular, both fly fishing and spin fishing, mm-hmm. and some real pigs in those rivers, man. Right. I'm telling you, some giant browns come out of that thing.
Right. No, that's a great river, and you can fish it, like I said, 50 miles, but you can go, well, of course, Crowley. And then, you know, below the dam, you know, all the way down where it's accessible.
Oh, the Owens River Gorge is like, it is brown town. I mean, you got to want it. It's kind of stickery and hot, and you got to work for it, hiking down the canyon wall there, getting to the river. But, man, I tell you, there is some incredible brown trout fishing, some beaver ponds up there that have just some monsters. And not an area where a lot of people fish, you know, comparatively speaking, just because access is on foot. But yeah, below Crowley there down to Pleasant Valley Reservoir, that is a great stretch of river.
Okay. Well, let's get some more information out for people that might want to go out there this summer. First of all, vehicles is, you know, I imagine you get a lot of people that go out there with tents, and I suspect RVs are popular, and there's plenty of accommodations, but there's so much area that you can pretty much always find some place to put up, right?
Oh, absolutely. Our canyon has got, hookup RV sites. And we've got three at our resort, and then there's mm-hmm. 40 down at Creekside RV Park. Then you've got 200 some odd tent sites in the national or the Inyo National Forest campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Those are open pretty much from the beginning of the season, which is you know into April all the way through.
Okay.
I think they start shutting them down right there at the end of October.
Grizz, all these people we talked to, I want to go.
But... Yeah, I want to go too. I want to pick up a 6-weight and head with him. I want to go.
There you go.
I really don't want to walk that far.
Okay.
Down there.
That's what I said.
Scary.
Go with me. You won't walk far. Trust me.
But I really would. I love those big brown trout.
Jared, let's go ahead and get some quick information, some contact information from Partridge Resort.
Sure. The easiest way to find us is online at www.parchersresort.net, and that's spelled P-A-R-C-H-E-R-S, resort.net.
.net.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or you can give us a call here at the reservation office at 760-873-4177.
Well, we're going to make it up there. We're going to make it up there for sure.
We'd love to have you, John.
Anyway, Jared from Parchers Resort, we appreciate you coming on and sharing all this wonderful opportunity that you have up there. So make sure that you get in touch with them and go visit Bishop. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. In our other studio, we have Mike the Grizz. We're going to be right back with both Jim, John, and Grizz at Fish Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The boss, he's looking for me. He says it's time.
Back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan talking over the music. But Jim, thank you very much, buddy. He's trying to cover up all the background noise that we've got going on in here. I was trying to talk to Victoria at the same time. Anyway, Tawny. Well, see, it was either
John.
No, Grizz, let me explain. It was going to be either Tammy or Tawny, and I couldn't figure out, so I just sent them both at the same time. Anyway, from Diamond Valley Lake, and Tawny, I bet that you're in full swing now.
Oh yeah, it's been really, really good here.
Okay, well, Diamond Valley is in, I guess you'd call it, Southern California. And mm-hmm. I've been there. Outdoor Writers Association had a conference there one time, and I got introduced to it. Very interesting, because most areas, either natural lakes, which there's very few of, And reservoirs. And the reservoirs are usually, they just, you know, dam up a canyon or something like that, and the water flows in. But when they did Diamond Valley, they did it a little bit differently. They actually specifically designed it to be a recreational and fishing lake.
Yes, they did. So, and they did a good job.
They did a good job. So, you know, they left a lot of structure, boulders and weeds, and even took stuff in and made it very accessible. So if you live in Southern California, I think it's probably one of your best bets anywhere for freshwater fishing. It's easy to get to, and it is just an incredible fishery. So tell us what's going on up there.
It's been really good for largemouth bass. There's been some catfish being caught, crappie being caught, red ear, a few stripers, mainly largemouth right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because it's only been, about 10 years?
Yep, about 10 years.
Okay, and of course they built it and then they took, you know, filled it up, and they just left it alone for a couple of years to stock it and let the fish grow before they opened it up. But it sounds like there's being more and more species that are becoming into the lake, and, you know, indigenous species that just happen to kind of just show up. It's the only thing you trouted in there is trout, planted in there is trout, right?
Yes, and we stock rainbow trout from Mount Lassen, and fishing game, they stock brown trout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do. Okay.
Yep.
That's
they have
cool.
Both rainbow and brown trout.
Right. And you do obviously have some facilities there. If someone just wants to jump in their car and run on over there, you can take care of them with a boat and maybe some lunch.
Yep.
Okay. Well, tell us real quickly about what you got.
We have boat rentals. We have food. Like, we have, you know, chips, snacks, junk food in here. We got bait shops. So we have tackle, we sell licenses. We have five different kinds of boats.
And what else you got going over there?
There's shoreline fishing. You can go hiking and bike riding.
Oh, really? You got bikes? You rent them, or you have to bring your own bike?
No, right now you have to bring your own bike, but we're actually looking into getting bikes here soon.
Grizz, so, these are not water bikes.
No, I understand that, because you go up a mountain on them, John. I'm not that stupid. I mean, you might think that, but I do know things about land.
Okay.
Well, that's great, because I know a lot of people would like to do that, but they don't have really a place to load up their, they don't have a place to put a bicycle. So if you got them there, they could come there and just get them from you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we will hopefully be getting them here hopefully by summertime.
Okay.
Well, that'd be absolutely great.
Well,
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not coming there to do it, but I sure would like to go fishing there.
There you go. Hey, yep. Tani, give us some quick information about Diamond Valley, how to get in touch with you guys.
Our phone number here is 951-926-7201.
951-926-7201. Okay, we appreciate that. And again, you got some more people excited, especially from Southern California, to just pack up the family and drive on up.
Yep.
Thank you.
Right,
thank you, Tani. Another great job.
All right, thanks.
All righty. Grizz, we have an old friend of mine. Well, I can't say old. I think he's older than me, but not by much.
Then he's old.
A very good friend who's been in the boat business for, I don't know, 70, 80 years, something like that, Harold?
Well, at least 64.
Yeah. Harold, of course, is famous for Davis Boats, but he's kind of moved on from that to just concentrate on, you know, on taking care of boats and outfitting boats. And if there's anybody that knows anything about boats from top to bottom, front to back, that would be Harold. So, Harold, it's that time of the year again. You want to talk a little bit about people that already have a boat and maybe some things they should be doing?
Well, there's always one thing about boats. They love to see your shadow, and the more you use them, the better off you are. And so now most everybody has taken them out of the water for whatever season they've had, and let them set over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And in servicing boats, you see a lot of mishaps, both on the boat and on the trailer, just because of what would be considered a lack of maintenance. A lot of people don't even consider inspecting, like, the valve stems on your wheels.
Mm.
Those are pretty soft rubber, and if they're not made out of metal, every couple years they rot right off. And I bet if most people right now have rubber
valve stems, and they haven't been out and check them, you can push them to the side and actually see cracks. Mm-hmm. Those will fly off under centrifugal force, and you will have a blowout, which doesn't look good on your resume.
No, it kind of, you get all excited, you get it all packed up, and you get halfway there, and you go, oh, shoot.
Yeah, but, or worse. And then the other one that's always a common stickler is people go, I've started my boat all during the winter, so it starts. But what a lot of them forget to do is try to put it in gear. And on quite a few of the inboard-outboard operations, salt will build up inside the shift cable, and it'll freeze it, and you won't be able to put it in gear. So now you've done your starts, your checks, you changed the oil, and you've done everything.
You started it up
so
and put it in the water.
Another test.
Yeah, you dump it in the water, start it up, and you think you're ready to go, and guess what?
Wow.
Yeah, that is true.
And then the big one that's just always is a bad one is the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Marine batteries typically carry a 2-year warranty, and you know why that is, John?
But they might last 2 years.
Exactly. So if they're 2 years old, there's two things that I found with boats. They're real hard to push start and even harder to pull start. So you might want to check those batteries and don't get caught short, because in today's world of boating, everybody has to have every electric widget and gadget there is, from multi-screens, automatic pilots, radars, bait pumps, underwater lights, electric pullers for lobsters or crabs, downriggers. You're consuming more voltage than the alternator and the average motor can put out.
Hey,
and the battery's just a gas tank holding reserve. So if those are weak, you're dead.
Harold, don't forget about my electric reel.
And your electric reel. There you go. So when you're sword fishing on the East Coast, John, your muscles don't wear out reel on those things.
I use those for Dorado.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Harold, I know that there's two things that cause a boat to wear out. One of them is using it, and the other one is not using it.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
And probably.
And as always, another thing you should do is check all your safety equipment. It's been in there. You could have expired flares. You could have an air horn with no horn. Your little plastic whistles could have got cracked, and the straps for your life vests have rotted away. Do yourself a favor and check them, because in the world, we call it an accident and not a planned happening. And if you need those things, you need them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Harold, talking about flares, I know that they have a date on them, and, I don't know, that if you use them after that date, you've got some risk, but how long do they actually last?
Well, the Coast Guard says they have to be within spec, and so the expiration date is the date that it expires.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you can retain all of your old flares on your boat, and they have to be in a different location than your current flares.
Gotcha.
And if you go on mine, it would light up the Pacific Northwest with flares that I have dated back for the last 10 years.
Okay.
But I'm sure that they work. I've actually taken them out and test them, and they work. But you don't want to get in gambling and think that they're going to work. Keep a set of fresh ones. That keeps you compliant. Keep your old ones for 10 years or so in a Ziploc baggie down in a watertight spot. And if you need them, you have extras.
Okay. Harold, before we let you go, I know that when it comes to boats, there's very few people that I know that know as much about boats. You've been building boats, outfitting boats for many years. And if someone wants to bring their boat up to you, how would they arrange that?
Well, you can go look at davisboats.com, and it has all of our address, and you can give us a call and schedule an appointment. We'd be happy to work on your boat, any year, make, or model.
Okay. And, of course, your forte, I guess, is in the larger trailable boats.
And in ocean boats. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of ocean fishing stuff, and we do everything that you can imagine, from electronics to repowers to gel coat work, upholstery, canvas, towers. You name it, we'll get it all done for you.
Okay. And you are located?
In Paso Robles, California. Beautiful Paso Robles, the wine country.
Yeah, it's becoming that now, isn't it? I thought it was cowboy country.
Yeah, and it you know, it kind of went from rolling hills to wine, so it makes it a little bit easier when people drop off the boats. They bring their wives, spend the weekend, do a wine tasting tour, go over to Hearst Castle, and then get their boat later.
Great. And if somebody wants to just give you a call, would you talk to them and maybe give them some ideas?
You bet.
Okay.
Area code 805-227-1170.
Okay. Harold, it's been a pleasure. I haven't had you on for a long time, and it's great to hear what you're up to. And, you know, I know you're passionate about fishing, and hopefully now you'll get a little bit more of a chance to do that.
Yep, salmon season's open, and I'm out of here.
Oh, by the way, we got to go right now, but we keep hearing different stories. Just in 10 seconds, is there not any salmon out there?
Yes, there is. Morro Bay has had a few. Good bite out of Santa Cruz and Half Moon Bay, all the way to Bodega Bay right now.
Okay, so up to Central California. Harold, thank you very much. We got to let you go. I hope to talk to you real soon. You're listening
thank
to
you,
Fish
sir.
Talk Radio.
Talk to you later.
Grizz, you stay right there.
Hey, woman, get the youngest, let's go.